Good morning. Today's Daf and Yuma, Samech Aleph. We are on Samech Aleph Amud Aleph. We're starting with the words Amar Ula. The Mishnah yesterday and Samech Amud Aleph went through the topic of Seder Yom HaKippurim with the emphasis on the word Seder. So there is an order, there's a sequence in terms of how the Avodah is done. The Torah is extraordinarily clear. Open up to Acharei Mos, then open up to Perek Tet Zayin, and you're going to go through the Parsha, and the Torah gives with absolute clarity the sequence of events. I pointed out yesterday, there is one detail which the Torah is unclear about, or be more honest, the Torah presents it one way, and we do it a little bit differently, but we have the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that is the removal of the Kaf HaMachta, where we're going to have the Kohen Gadol put on the gold, then go back to the white in order to remove the Kaf HaMachta. That's not the picture you get in the Torah. So there is one detail where we deviate slightly from the Torah, but again, we're not deviating from the Torah. We're just simply following Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, but the right Talach Lamosh Mesinai that we arrived at that conclusion. We established that in the earlier parts of the Masechta. There has to be five times that the Kohen goes through a wardrobe change. There has to be 10 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and the only way to arrive at that number is by going through that change of gold in the middle. Okay, but anyway. But outside that, the Torah is extraordinarily clear. And how significant is the sequence? Well, it's very clear. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the mitzvah of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. He's going to be following the Torah Kiseder. And that part's obvious. What we're discussing yesterday and today is essentiality. How much is a ma'akev if the Kohen Gadol does not follow the order as prescribed by the Torah? So the Mishnah says it's essential. It's ma'akev. What parts of it are ma'akev? So here we have the machlokas atanayim. So yesterday we were introduced to machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemia in terms of how essential which parts of the avoda are ma'akev. So Rav Yehuda takes the most constricted viewpoint, and that is that any avoda done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur while wearing the big day lavan in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that is ma'akev. Anything outside that is not ma'akev. Again, it's important, it's a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev. Rav Nechemia takes a more expansive view. Rabbi Nechemia says, as long as your Kohen Gadol is wearing your big day lavan, and he's anywhere in the Heichal, so that Seder is going to be ma'akev. And yesterday's daf, we went through many different examples and scenarios in which the Kohen Gadol is going to have to go back and redo because he went out of Seder, and we saw it in the within the framework of Rabbi Yehuda, and we saw it in the framework of Rabbi Nechemia. Good, that was yesterday's daf. The last thing that we covered yesterday is the chafina. The Kohen Gadol now taking the fistful of the two cupped hands of the Ketoreth, and that obviously is done in the Azara. And the Torah prescribes the Seder when that's done. So when that's done, is that going to be ma'akev? Meaning if the Kohen Gadol does that out of order, out of sequence? So the Gemara's conclusion yesterday was, yeah, even according to Rav Yehuda. Why? Because what is he going to do with that Ketoreth? He's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that is what the Gemara described yesterday as Tzarech Panim. Since it's Tzarech Panim, since you're going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with it, so now that's going to have the status of being essential, even according to the Sheet of Rav Yehuda. And therefore, if done out of order, it's got to be redone. Okay. All this is what we said yesterday, and now we progress. When Samech Aleph Amud Aleph, we are starting with the words Amar Ula. So Amar Ula, Seir Sheshachtu Kodem Matan Dama Shel Par, Lo Asav Lo Klum. So let's say you shech the seir before the application of the Dam Shel Par. So Lo Asav Lo Klum, that shechling of the seir is totally negated. It's out of order, right? You're out of order. Okay, so it's out of order. And and we know, in other words, again, I'm not going to go through right now the entire sequence of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. I did it yesterday, but okay, if you've been following up until now, so you know that the shechting of the seer is not to be done before the dam of the par; it's to be done after the dam par. And so, if you did it in advance, or a loss of a lo klum. So the Gemara says, "Good." Happens to be this is a statement of ula. It's a big statement. It's not a big statement. It's pretty straightforward. So the Gemara says, "Tanan, okay." But let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Hiktim damasir la damapar yachziv yazeb mi damasir acher damapar. So we're quoting from yesterday's Mishnah. And the Mishnah yesterday said that if I preempted the damapar with the damasir, and I did the damasir before the damapar, so I got to go ahead and sprinkle the damasir after the damapar. That was the Mishnah's example yesterday. And the Gemara says, v'im isa. Now, ula, if you're right, so yachziv yishchot mi ba'ilei. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You got to go back even earlier. Meaning, if you brought the blood of the seer before the blood of the par, so now what do you have to do? You have to redo the blood of the seer. You have to go back earlier. You got to redo the shechting of the seer and then the sprinkling of the blood of the seer. So the Gemara says, and Ula seems that would be Ula's position. That's not a simple reading of the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, yeah, but Tirgama Ula b'matan shebehecha v'chein amarev efes b'matan shebehecha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when you read the Mishnah, so the Mishnah is not talking about which Hazos we're talking about, so let's clarify. If we're talking about the Hazos and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then Ula is correct. The Hazos and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, again, what's the sequence? Sequence is that you shechted the par, you sprinkled the par, and then and only then do you shecht the seir. So then you're right. So if I advance the blood of the seer before that, so now I got to redo the seer, but including redoing of the seer would be the shechting of the seer. Okay, you're right. Happens to be that's not what the Mishnah is describing. What the Mishnah is describing is the next set of hazos, which are the hazos and the heichal. There, if I moved up the blood of the seer over the blood of the bull, okay. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to just have to redo the blood of the seer after the blood of the bull. Otherwise stated, it's just hazos over there. Okay, that's what the Mishnah is describing, and that's why you don't have to reshech the seer. Adkan. Okay, we're up to the two dots now. On Samech Aleph, Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, V'chiper es Mikdash HaKodesh. Go through the Parsha. Go through the Perek of the Avodas Yom Kippurim. It's Perek Tet Zayin. And here, we're really looking at one of the last psukim in the Perek. Meaning, basically, what are we looking to achieve? It's obvious. I mean, it's the theme of Yom Kippur. We're looking to achieve Kapara. So now the Gemara is going to be going through the Pasuk and word by word explaining which kapara is being achieved by what. So v'chiper es mikdash hakodesh zelifnei v'lifnim. So the kapara, first of all, that is mi kodesh. So I'm sorry, v'chiper es mikdash hakodesh. So that's a reference to the lefnei v'lifnim, the area of the kodesh kadashim. So the sprinkling of the blood. Now I could say the sprinkling of the blood, we could also say the vidui that's done over the seir. Regardless, the point is that is providing kapara for any possible tumah that occurs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When we say possible tumah, we mean somebody who was tameh and goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, the likelihood of that happening, nobody's going in there to begin with. The only time somebody's going in there is on Yom Kippur. So it's really unlikely, but again, even though it's unlikely, so we're providing specific kapara of tumah, of possible violation of tumah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now we're just going to cover the entire area. So, Moed, again, that's an excerpt from the Pasuk. So, Zehecha, that's a reference to the Hechal. Mizbech, Kamashma, the Mizbech is the Mizbech. Okay, now, Mizbech is found in the Hechal. So, if you're getting a Kapara for the Hechal, why do I need a separate Kapara for the Mizbech in the Hechal? I don't have a wonderful answer. But it is it. But it's certainly something to think about. Yicha per Elo Azaros. The Yichaper is a reference to the Azaros. And HaKohanim Kemashvam, the Kohanim are being provided for a Kapara. Im HaKahal, that's again an excerpt of the Pasuk. So Eli Yisrael, that's a reference to Yisrael. So Yichaper, once again, it'd be best right now, I'm not going to go through the Pasuk inside, but you see the Pasuk, read the Pasuk. I'm pretty sure it's Pasuk Lamed Gimel, but read the Pasuk inside, and you're going to find, phrase by phrase, as the Gemara over here is advancing in the Pasuk. So Yichaper Eilu Levim. And this is a reference to the Levim, who shekulam lekapara achas, shekulam miskapim b'sir mishalech b'shar averus, Divrei Rav Yehuda. And according to Rav Yehuda, when it comes to the kapara of shar averus, basically, we're receiving kapara for two categories of averus. And I know there's a funny way to categorize it, but one category is tumah, specifically tumas mikdash. Okay? And then, every other Avera. Okay. I know it seems like an unbalanced form of Kapara. So, for the Tuma of the Beis HaMikdash, so what do we have? We have the Par of the Kohen Gadol, and we have the Seer LaShem. Now, when it comes to the Shar Averas, all other Averas, what do we have? We have the Seer HaMishtaleach. Now, it's not going to be Shechted, it's going to be thrown off a cliff, but there is Vidui that's done over the Seer HaMishtaleach. According to Shitas Rav Yehuda, when Vidu is done over the Seer HaMishtaleach, that's providing a kapara for every Jew, meaning both Yisrael and Kohen, and for Shar Averos. As far as the kapar for Tumas Mikdash, so that's being achieved by the Seer LaHashem and the par and the par of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, good. That is all the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kishim Shadam Asir Nasa Bifnim Mechaper Yisrael B'Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. So just like the Dam of the Seir provides a kapar for the Jew, for Yisrael, for the possible Tumas Mikdash, so Kach Dam Apar Mechaper L'Kohanim B'Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. So to the par is providing a kapar for the Kohanim, for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Ukishem Shavidu Shal Seir Meshlech Mechaper Yisrael B'Shar Averos, Kach Vidu Shal Par Mechaper L'Kohanim B'Shar Averos. And just like the Seir HaMishalech is providing Kapar for all the other Averos, so too the Par is providing a Kapar for the Kohanim for all other Averos. That is Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So over here, a really basic machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in terms of where are the Kohanim receiving their Kapara for Shar Averos. Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, that's clear. That's the Par and the Seal Hashem. Par for the Kohanim, Seal Hashem for Yisrael. What about Shar Averos for Yisrael? That's Seir HaMishtaleach. What about Shar Averos for the Kohanim? So we just saw now a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says it's coming from the Seir HaMishtaleach for everybody, Yisrael and Kohen. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's split. Shar Averos is a kapar for Yisrael, again, coming from Seir HaMishtaleach, but for the Kohanim, it's coming from the par. All right. Tanu Rabbanan. It's so interesting in that there's a vidui that's done over the par of the Kohen Gadol. We went over the vidui earlier in the Masechta, in the Mishnayos. We went through the actual Nusach HaVidui. It's so interesting that the vidui itself, would it change based on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda versus the sheet of Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara doesn't make that point clear, but presumably it would. But again, that part's not clear. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, and now we're going to start another brisa. This next brisa that we're about to go through is basically a review of yesterday's Mishnah. Okay, so I'm going to go through it somewhat quicker. V'chila mechaper sekar zeh lefnev lefnim o amoed zeh hecha mezbech kemashmal melamed shekulam kapar bifnei atzman. So in terms of achieving kapara, so each section of the Beis HaMikdash, given that they are, given that they are receiving different hazas, right? The three sets of hazas that are done by the Kohen Gadol, once in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, a second time in the Heichal, a third time in the Heichal, but on the Mizbeach. So each one of them is considered a different section, each one providing a kapara for a different part of the Beis HaMikdash. And again, kapara for what? Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshim, possible tumah. Amru nasa mikdash matana shebifnim v'nishbach adam yavi damachev v'yischil b'tchilas matana shebifnim. And therefore, because they're all treated as different units, so therefore, let's say you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kohen Gadol spilled and lost the blood somewhere in the middle. So now, what he's got to do? Start again from the beginning. And the same thing is going to be true. Well, we'll get to that. Right? I'm jumping ahead. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Armim, Eino Maschalam, Emakom Shepasach. Pasuk, and according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, you don't have to start from the beginning, right where you left off. It's Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata. Let's say after three, the blood was spilled and lost. So according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, no problem. You just simply get new blood. Obviously, it requires you to get new animals, but you get new blood and you shecht, and from that point you go now with Hazar number four in the Kodesh Kedashim. Obviously, whichever animal you were doing at that time. So here we go now. We're up to the second set in the Heichal. And we're going to be making the same exact point. And let's say the blood was spilled and lost while doing the Hazas in the Heichal. Kohen Gadol now has got to go back and get new blood. And now where is he going to start from? Well, he doesn't have to do the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was a unit in of itself. So now he just has to start where? From the beginning of the Heichal. Meaning even though he did already some hazos, opposite the paroches, he's got to go back to the beginning. It's its own separate unit. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Armimeinu Maskal, Alamakam Shepasak. And again, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, you don't have to go back to the beginning, right from where you left off. Now, if the blood was spilled and you finished the second set, meaning against the paroches. So good. Now you're up to the third set. Now some mitzvahs matan shemizbeach v'nishbach adam yavid amachir v'yischel b'tchila b'matan shemizbeach. And again, I know this all sounds repetitive. Why the Brisa has to make this point independently for every section? In other words, Brisa could have just simply said it's all true for every section. Not sure, but okay. But the Brisa goes through every section. So now we're up to the mizbeach, and your mid application of the blood on the mizbeach, and some of it spills. So again, go back, get new blood, meaning get new animals, get new blood, and then you're going to start from the beginning of the mizbeach. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amrei Malkum Shapasaku Maschil, and Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says no. The place that you were posek, you just pick it up right where we left off. Gamar Matan Shemizbeach V'Nishbach Adam. Now, after finishing the applications on the mizbeach, and now the blood was spilled or lost, meaning you had to do the shirayim. So Divra Kol Ma'akve. So the shirayim are not ma'akev. Now, it's funny. If you remember yesterday's daf, there are opinions. Good, very good. Right? All you, right? It's not so bad. You just have to remember yesterday's daf. So there are opinions that say that the shirayim are ma'akev. Okay, so we know it's a machlokas. So when the Braisa says over here that according to Divrei Akol, according to everybody, it's not ma'akev, so I suppose what the Braisa means is that within this Braisa, meaning in the Braisa you have the Tanakama, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. Now I know the Tanakama is anonymous, but within the Braisa, the Shirayim are not ma'akev. Yes, there are other Tanaim who are of the opinion that Shirayim are ma'akev, but internally, this Braisa, Shirayim are not ma'akev. Good. Okay, that was a lot of Gemara. Again, what we did, candidly, is we reviewed yesterday's Mishnah. Just happens to be that the Braisa really spelled it out. Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'shtei mikra echadarshu. So here in the Braisa, two positions, Tanakama versus Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. According to the Tanakama, when you are going back to redoing a set, you have to go to the beginning of the set. According to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, not necessary. You just pick it up exactly where you left off. So where are they learning this from? Rabbi Yochanan says, same pasuk. So midam chatas akipurim achas bashana. So the Torah, we quoted this pasuk already. So the it's done once a year. Now what does that mean? Achas, Rabbi Meir Savar. Now the Tanakama, we just identified the Tanakama as Rabbi Meir. Okay. So Rabbi Meir Savar chatas achas amadulach v'losh techatos. When doing a application of the blood, it has to be sourced from one animal. Now I say one animal, you know it's two animals. It's the par and the seer. But it has to be one par and one seer. So when doing the Hazaros and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, again, each section is its own independent unit. So when doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so the blood of the par has to be one par. That's why if in the middle of the Hazaros it spills, and now you're getting new blood, you can't just pick it up where you left off, because then all the applications would be sourced from two parim. You don't want that. You can't have that. So therefore, you have to restart from the beginning. That's the Shita of Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Savi Chitui Achad, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's the achas is modifying chatas, but chatas over here could be understood as chitui, meaning the application has to be sourced from one animal. Each application has to be sourced from one animal. But then when you move from application to application, so it could use different animals. Obviously, there's enough blood to be used from one animal, and obviously the Kohen Gadol wants to get it all from one animal, but each application can be achieved from different animals. That's why, according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, if you spilled the blood in the middle of the Hazos, so that's why you could pick it up right where you left off, because it's chitui that needs to come, it's each application of blood that has to be can come from different animals. Okay, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Okay, so we now have discussed for the first half of today's daf this idea that when doing the hazos of the dam of Yom Kippur for the par and the seir, so basically now we have sections. Section number one, Kodesh HaKadoshim. Section number two, in the heichal in the direction of the parochah. Section number three, the mizbeach. Okay, and then the shirayim. Now we're going to take everything that we just learned and we're going to transfer it over to the mitzvah. Okay, something we have never seen in our lifetime, and we haven't had a base of mikdash for 2 millennia. So we're a little bit out of practice, to say the least. But when the mitzvah comes in order to achieve his tahara, so he also goes through a process. It's an involved process. And for a review of the entire process, also stay open in Sefer Vayikra and go back to Perek Yud Dalet, the beginning of Parshas Mitzvah. So there the Torah goes through in detail the exact Tahara process of the Metzorah. It involves three karbanos, Asham, Ola, and Chatas. It involves applications of blood of the Asham towards the Metzorah. It involves application of oil to the Metzorah. Where the Metzorah is standing right now, this is his eighth day of Tahara. He already went through a seven-day process. We're not going to review that right now. And now this is the eighth day of his Tahara, where he's going to be receiving his Kapara through these three Karbanos and through the application of both blood and oil. The part that we're going to focus on right now is the application of the oil. Now, where is he standing? So he's not standing in the Azara. In fact, he can't stand in the Azara. He still is what's called in halacha mechuser kapara. He still is lacking a little bit of kapara. He won't have gained full kapara until the completion of this whole process. So how do you give him a tahara so that he can go into the base of Mikdash, when meanwhile, part of the requirement is that he has to be in the base, in the base of Mikdash, specifically in the Azara. So you've heard this before. And the answer is, he's right there at the threshold, literally. He's at Sharni Kanor. Now, he can't go in, but what he's going to do is that for the application of the oil and the application of the blood, he'll put in the appendages that need to go in order to receive the application. Which appendages are we talking about? The right earlobe, the right thumb, and the right toe. Those are the parts of these appendages that need application of both blood and oil. Now, when it comes to the oil, so there are going to be, just like on Yom Kippur, there are three sets for the application of oil. There are going to be three sets of applications. There's going to be applications in the direction of the actual Heichal, meaning the Kohen is going to be standing there with the oil and sprinkling it in the direction of the Heichal seven times. Then he's going to do an application to the Metzorah on his ear, thumb, and toe. And then he's going to pour it on the head of the Metzorah. So it comes in three waves, similar to Yom Kippur. And so now, with that as just basic introduction, so now, Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Li Chalak Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. When it comes to the Log Shemen, that's the amount of oil needed for the Metzorah. So Rebbe says that Rebbe Yaakov said to me that here it's different. Here it's different, meaning that there's not going to be a machlokus between Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Lazar, and Rebbe Shimon, meaning that you have Sheva Azos Shebifnim, and then you have the Matan Behonos. So there, if let's say the oil were to spill, so here we're not going to have a debate whatsoever. What you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to restart from the beginning, and you cannot just simply pick it up where you left off, not even according to the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. Why would that be? Meaning, why is it different over here? Now, it's funny. If you ask me why it's different, I would just simply say it's a totally different area of halacha. Meaning, there's Yom Kippur and then there's the Metzorah. However, the Gemara sees the parallel between the two. And as Rashi points out over here, the Rashi, Li Chalak Rabbi Yaakov Belugin. So I'm just looking at the end of the Rashi. Lo Amrinim Amakom Shepasak Misham Umaskil. So Rashi writes over here that we're not going to say that you can pick it up right where you left off, even according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, Dechsiv log echad shemen, because the Torah says it has to be one log, and that log echad amart galach liyos a kapara bovelo shtei lugin. So meaning to say that if it spills in the middle, you can't just simply get another log shemen and just pick it up right where you left off, because you failed the log echad. Now, by Yom Kippur, so why don't we say the same thing? It says Achas Bashana. Yeah, but as we just went over, by Yom Kippur, it says Chatas, which could be interpreted as Chitui. Each application is its own unit. But when it comes to the Mitzvah, we have no such drasha. So therefore, what Rebbe says is that what Rebbe Yaakov explained to him is that here by the Mitzvah, everyone's in agreement. Oil spills, you got to get new oil, start from the beginning. Now, Velova Atanya, the Gemara says, okay, that's a wonderful parallel. It just happens to be that Rebbe's point does not seem to be correct. Why? Because we have a Braisa. And the Braisa over here reads, Nelson mitzvahs matan shebifnim, v'nishbach halog, yavi log acher v'yischil b'tchila, b'matan shebeichal. So let's say you spill the oil while going through the Tahara process of the Mitzorah. So now what? You got to get new oil and start from the beginning. Okay, good. That's the Tanakama. Now, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omrim, Emakum Shepasuk, Umaskil. And according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you don't have to start from the beginning. Pick it up where you left off with the oil. So there are seven hazaz done in the direction of the Heichal. So they're right. The pasuk is Lifnei Hashem. So let's say after three applications, the oil spills, spilled and lost. So what do? You get new oil. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you start with number four. Okay. And Gamar Matan Shebeichav Nishbachalog Yavilog Achavitzcho Betchila BeMatan Shebebahonos. Now let's say you do seven applications and now the blood spills. Okay. But now you're up to the second set, meaning now you're up to the application on the appendages of the Mitzorah. Okay, great. That's a Matan Bahonos. So now you start there. Now, Nelson, Mitzvah Matan Shebebahonos Nishbachalog Yavilog Achavitzcho Betchila BeMatan Shebebahonos. Now, let's say you're in mid-application of set number two, the appendages of the Mitzorah. So what do? And you spill the oil and lost the oil, get new oil, start from the beginning of that second set. Now, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amar Mi Makom Shepasukum Maschil, and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, not necessary. Wherever you left off, that's where you're going to pick it up. You already did the application on the ear. Good. So now go straight to the thumb, and then go to the toe. And then what's the last step over here for the mitzvah? You pour it on his head. And let's say the blood spills. Okay, so here everyone's in agreement that you don't have to go through this last step. It's not ma'akev.
Is this the same Dira Hakol within the Braitha?
This is the Braitha. This is the Braitha.
When it says Dira Hakol.
Oh, I see. I see. Excellent. I don't know. I would guess within the Braisa, but I just don't know. So now what comes out? What comes out now is that that very same machlokas that we had regarding Yom Kippur is the exact same machlokas as it relates to the Mitzorah. And so Rebbe said, it's different. It's not different. With the Braisa says it's not different. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine, it's time for a correction. So Aim Ali Shana Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. So the way it was originally presented is Chalak Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. Now the new way to say it is Shana Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. It's the same thing. Okay. Amar Matanasa Rosh in Ma'akvos. Okay. That third set for the Mitzorah. By the way, if you're seeing it the way I am, it's really fascinating. Meaning that the Mitzorah himself almost becomes like a quasi mizbeach. Right. I know it sounds strange, but that's basically what's happening. Meaning just like you do applications on the Mizbeach, on a standard carbon, so by the Mitzorah, it's pretty similar. You're doing applications on the Mitzorah. Okay, beyond that, I can't help you. And in terms of significance, I'm sure there are drushas galore. Significance of the right ear and the right thumb and the right toe. I'm just making a more global assessment of, the Mitzorah becomes like a quasi-Mizbeach. So after the second set of applying the oil to the appendages, then you pour the rest of the oil on his head, and the Braisa acknowledge at the end, it's not ma'akev. Now on that, my timer. The Gemara wants to know, why is that the case? So maybe it's because the way the Torah phrases it, whatever's left over. So the Gemara says, okay, really? So that because the Torah calls it nosar, whatever's left over. So you're telling me that obviously it's a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev. The Gemara says, I don't understand. So when the Torah describes the leftovers, what we call the shirayim, the Torah describes it as the noseres min amincha. You want to tell me that that's not essential? That is really essential. How essential is the shirayim? Well, it's very simple. If after the Kohen took off his kometz, his kemitza, and now he hasn't yet put it up onto the mizbeach, I lost any of the shirayim, you can't put the kometz on the mizbeach, right? That is shirayim shechasar. By Shiram Shechasar, so you can't put the kometz on the Mizbeach. So just because the Torah says the word V'hanoseres, it doesn't mean it's not essential. In fact, it is essential. So that can't be the reason why. So Shani Hasam Dichsiv Umi Yeser V'hanosar. So the Gemara says, yeah. But when the Torah describes let's put it like this. And again, what I'm doing right now is I'm just saying over Rashi. Look, there are three sets of applications by the Mitzorah. Application number one is going to be sprinkling in the direction of the Heichal. Application number two is going to be on the appendages of the Mitzorah. And then application number three is going to be on his head. When the Torah describes set number two up on the appendages, the Torah already uses the term Umi Yeser. So in other words, set number two already is classified in the Torah as leftover. So now, When we get to set number three, that's the pouring of the remaining oil on the head of the Metzorah. So what is that? That is, the Torah describes as Noser. But coming right off of set number two, which was already described as Noser. So basically, what do I have over here? I have derivatives. I have residual of the residual. And since we have now a double residual, so that's why the third set of applications of the oil, of the the Lod Shemen, which is poured on the head of the Metzorah, so that is Noser min HaNosar. That's why it's not Ma'akev. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, second half of today's daf. We're well into today's daf, but Amud Beis. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Asher Metzor, Sheshachter Shalol Lishmo. So let's say you have the Asher Metzor that was Shechter, and it was Shechter Shalol Lishmo. Okay, so again, as I pointed out, the Tara Metzorah that's done on day eight is going to involve three carbonos. The carbon that we're going to be focusing on right now is the carbon Asham. So we know that not only is oil going to have applications, but the dam of the carbon Asham also going to have applications. Truth be told, the Gemara is going to make this point really clear in just a moment. There's actually going to be, the blood is going to head in two different directions. After you shech the carbon Asham and the Metzorah, so some of the blood is going to be collected, classically in the Kli Sharis, sprinkled on the Mizbeach, like you do every carbon Asham. But some other blood is going to be taken and applied, once again, to the appendages of the Metzorah. So if you're keeping score today, so the Metzorah is receiving two applications, one from the oil and a second one from the Dam Asham. Okay, so now, Asham Metzorah Sheshachter Shalol Lishma. So let's see, the carbon Asham of the Metzorah was shechted, but with Shalol Lishma, with a different carbon in mind. Now, this is topic number one of the Gemara in Zvachim. Daf Aleph. There's no Daf Aleph, but Daf Beis in Zvachim. A carbon that shechter Shalol Lishma. So we all know the rules, that with exception to the Chatzos and the carbon Pesach, so what happens? The carbon is still a kosher carbon. Lo alu lo labalim. It simply cannot be applied to its owner. It becomes detached from its owner when you have a shechita of Shalol Lishma. Now, here's our question. Our question is that now, obviously, it's part of the Taurus of Metzorah, so what you need now is that you're going to need to redo the carbon Asham, because we're going to need blood in order to apply to the Metzorah. So you get a new carbon, right? It's that simple. So what the Gemara now is going to teach us is, it's not that simple. So Banu l'machlokas Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. So this is now going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, in terms of whether or not you can even bring another carbon Asham. Rabbi Meir, Damar Yavi, Acher V'yascha Ketchila, so Achinami Yavir, Acher V'yishkot. So according to Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir say? Whenever you spill in the middle of a set, start from the beginning. So what does that mean? It means that according to Rabbi Meir, everything you did up until now just simply is erased, expunged, and you have to start from the beginning. So according to Rabbi Meir, so no problem. In other words, over here, you shech the carbon Asham Shalol Lishmo, so now you've detached it from its owner. Okay, so basically, you just start from the beginning. No problem at all. But here now becomes the challenge. Ula Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Shomri, Malkin, Shabbosak, Mishamu, Maschil, Hachinami, Enlo, Takana. But according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, so you have now a conundrum, a significant conundrum. Because they say you pick it up right where you left off. You prick it up. There it is. Now the internet's working. Okay, great. Okay. I apologize, Zoomers. Hopefully by Sunday I'll get my act together. Okay, so according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, you pick it up right where you left off. Which means now that what you've done until now receives a check mark, and now you just simply go from this point going forward. Okay, but here now becomes the problem. You see, where did the blood spill? Already by the Shechita. Now when I say spill, I mean that the carbon was shechted Shalol Lishmo. So now according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, we can't just simply ignore the fact that he had a carbon Asham. Now you pick it up where you left off. The problem now is that there's no pickup point over here. Right? What are we going to do? In other words, to just simply say, oh, we'll get a new animal. No, we shechted our carbon.
It wasn't his.
I know. It took me a while, and I still don't have it fully wrapped. It took me a while to wrap my head around what the Gemara is saying over here. But the Gemara is acknowledging that it was his up until the point of Shechita. So now, basically, the point of failure is a point where we can't just simply, we can't recover from that point. Meaning it's not like Hazal's where I did a first Hazal, I did a second Hazal. Okay, so I'll just shecht again, and I will now pick it up right there. Over here now, the point of failure becomes the point where I simply can't pick it up from that point. Meaning it becomes the point of Shechita. Okay. So now, according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shema, so good. So now what are you going to do? And the answer is, and it's really unsatisfying, but the answer is, you're going to do nothing. Ein lo takana. You can't just simply bring another carbon. Okay. So and that means to say that this Mitzvah now is going to be, for the rest of his life, going to be in the state of being Mechusa Kapara, just short of having achieved full Kapara. That's terrible. Okay. Please don't misunderstand. I'm extraordinarily sympathetic, but sometimes halacha arrives at these dead ends. Okay. Maskelor of Chistavaha Oso Ksiv. So the Gemara says, okay, but it does say the word Oso, and right, the Vihikriv Oso La Asham. So what the Gemara is bothered by is that even according to Reb Meir, right, there really shouldn't be a remedy. Meaning it should be this carbon and no other carbon. And meanwhile, according to Rebbe Meir, you just simply bring another carbon. So Kashia, the Gemara basically shrugs his shoulders. The Gemara says, you're right, but I still would say that according to Rebbe Meir, because of his requirement to start from the beginning, you're allowed to bring another carbon. Okay, fine. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan. The Gemara now is going to support this idea of Rav Yochanan. And again, this idea of Rav Yochanan, it's really subtle, right? It's a sophisticated point. Is that if I have the Asher Mitzara for the Mitzara, that was redundant. If I have the Asher Mitzara, that was Shechta Shelo Lishmo, and now what can we do in terms of remedying this situation? So for a mayor, you bring another carbon Asham. According to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ein Lo Takana, there's nothing you could do. So now the Gemara is going to point out, Rav Yochanan seems to be right. Why? We have a Braisa. So here in the Braisa, it simply says that if the carbon asham was shechta shelo lishmo, so what do you do? So you treat it like a carbonola. Again, in other words, the carbon itself is still valid. You treat it like a standard carbonola, and tzarech asham acher lahachshiro. You're going to need to bring another carbon asham. Which means to say that there is an opinion out there that says that you could start again. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, that opinion happens to belong to Rebbe Meir. Okay. Now, V'Rav Chista Amalacha. Now, what Rav Chista will tell you is the following. The braisa that you just brought in, interesting. Here's what Rav Chista will tell you. Here's how I'll interpret the braisa. Mai tzarech, tzarech ve'en lo tekana. So tzarech means, yeah, that's a proper reaction. So tzarech means, yeah, you need to bring another carbon, but you can't do it. In other words, there's just simply no solution to this problem. It's an unsolvable problem. So v'tzini tana tzarech ve'ein lo takana. So the Gemara says, really, stylistically? The Braisa writes the word tzarech, and you're telling me he needs it, but there's nothing he can do about it. That's a legitimate style of Tanayim. And the Gemara's answer is in, yeah, certainly. V'hatanya. The Gemara says, I'll give you an example. Nazir memorat. So let's say you have a Nazir, and he's bald, totally bald, meaning he has simply no capacity to grow hair. Okay, so now he has to let his hair grow. Okay, good. Challenge accepted. Okay, so he goes through his period in his ears, he grows out his hair, but it happens to be that he does not have the ability to grow out his hair. Okay, now we know what happens at the conclusion of Naziris, so he has to go through shaving his hair. Now, the shaving of his hair for him means what? It's going to take a razor and just basically run it over his scalp. Okay, does that work? Oh, and funny you should ask. So, Nazir Memar, Beishamai Amrim Tzarech Chavarz Tar, or Beisila Amrim Ein Tzarech Chavarz Tar. So, let's start with Shitas Beisila. So, shave his head? He doesn't have any hair. Skip the shave. Move on to the next step. That's Shitas Beisila. Good. According to Beit Shammai, no, tzarech tar, you need a shave. Now, what does that mean? So, v'amar av avina kishamar as Beit Shammai tzarech ve'en lo tekana. Now, in terms of proper understanding of Beit Shammai, so Rabbi Avina has a tradition that what Beit Shammai means is that he needs to shave, but because he has no hair, so therefore, tzarech, but however, ein lo tekana. Because he needs a shave, and because there's no hair to shave off, so now we're stuck. Once again, we're at a dead end. We're at a halachic dead end. And so there's nothing he could do. He's not going to be able to successfully conclude his Naziris. Right. Right. Okay, but what we've proven over here is that stylistically, you see that the word Tzarech occasionally is used to mean that you need it, but because you can't do it, so you're stuck. Now this is not in agreement with Rabbi Pedas. Rabbi Pedas lines up the Shita Beishamai and the Shita Rabbi Lazar. Beishamai Hadamar, we just went over the Shita Beishamai. And Rabbi Lazar discusses a very similar related topic, and that is Ein Lo Bowen Yad, U Bowen Regal, Ein Lo Tara Olamis. So let's say Aaron Mitzora does not have a thumb, does not have a toe, does not have a right thumb, a right toe. So now what? So what are you going to do in terms of the application? So and giving him a full tahara. So according to the Tanakhama, nothing you can do about it, right? Unfortunately, he now becomes stuck. So and Rabbi Lazar Omer, notice that I'm a come of Yotze, and Rabbi Lazar says no. In other words, you just simply put it on the phantom limb, right? He's got a thumb area. He's got a toe area. So put it on the area, right? Presumably means put it on the nub. Whatever the case is, Rabbi Lazar says, no, you'll still apply it. And Rabbi Shimon, Amar im nasanal shel smol yatsa. And Rabbi Shimon says, well, I know the Torah says instructions are to put it on the right thumb and on the right toe, but in the absence of a right thumb or in the absence of a right toe, so put it on the left. So here you would say, okay, so the point from all this is that you see Rabbi Pedas, what did he do? He lined up Beit Shammai to the Shita of Rabbi Lazar. Beit Shammai for the hairless Nazir says, okay, you just simply take a razor and you put it over his head. Rabbi Lazar for the thumbless and toeless Mitzora says, you just simply put it in that area. So you see that according to Rabbi Pedas, you'll still go through the motions even though it doesn't do anything, right? The shave for the Mitzora, yeah, Tzarech, meaning shave him. It doesn't do anything. Yeah, it's okay. Shave him. And for the Mitzora who is thumbless and toeless, okay, still apply the blood. He doesn't have a thumb. Okay, doesn't matter. Go through the motions. So you see that Rav Pedas understands that the word Tzarech for Beit Shammai, not like Rabbi Avinah. Rabbi Avinah says, Tzarech vein lo takana. Rabbi Pedas says, no, Tzarech. And you just simply go through the motion. Okay. One more piece for today. Tana Rabbanan. V'lakach midama Hashem yachol b'kli. Okay, now, the shechting of the carbon Hashem, I made this point earlier, but now the Gemara is saying it. So the collection of the blood of the Dam Hashem. So again, there are two destinations of that blood. Well, one is going to go to the Mizbech, and the other is going to go to the Mitzora. Okay, the price is just going to spell this out. So, Tana Rabban V'lakach midama Hashem yachol b'kli, tamalam v'nasan, manesina ba'atz Moshe Kohen, aflikicha ba'atz Moshe Kohen. For the Kohen is going to be doing the application of the blood of the Hashem on the Mitzora. So, for that Kohen, he's got to receive the blood, not b'kli, but b'yad. Why? Nesina is done with the yad, so even the lakicha is done with the yad. On the other hand, Yachalaf leMizbech Kain. Yeah, for the Mizbech, what are you going to do? You're going to do Kabbalah Adam in your hand? No. Tamalomar, Ki Chachatas HaShamu. Machatas Tuna Kli, Af HaShem Tan Kli. No, it's a carbon HaShem. Just like a carbon Chatas. And the Torah says, Kachatas Ka HaShem. And by Chatas, of course you accept in a Kli. So by an HaShem as well. So Nim says, Ata Omer, HaShem Mitzor, Shnei Kohanim, Mekabal Mizdamo. Echa B'yad V'echa B'kli. And so therefore, with the shechting of the carbon asham of the Mitzora, you have not one, this is a halachic anomaly, you have not one but two Kohanim standing there ready to receive the blood. One's going to be there with a Kli, and the other one's going to be there with his hand. The one with the Kli, so where is he going? Destination to the Mizbeach, in order to do the standard Hazaros on the Mizbeach. And the other Kohen with his hand right there, with his right hand opened up, in order to accept some of the blood in his hand. So that he can go to the Mitzora in order to do the application of the Dam on the Mitzora. Okay. Logistically, right? I'm sure if we saw it, it would look a lot clearer to us. It's an anomaly. It's a total anomaly. Off the top of my head, I cannot think of another time something like this happens. Nim says, Ata Omer, Asher Mitzora, Shnei Kohanim, Mekabalim, Zdamo, Echa B'yad, V'echa B'kli. Ze Shekibol. Okay, good. Just like we got done saying. The one accepting the Kli goes to the Mizbech, then the one accepting his hand, so he heads in the direction of the Mitzora. Ad Kan, stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the words Tanan Hassam. Let's review. Today's daf, topics that were covered, a conclusion of yesterday's discussion regarding the Seder that is Ma'akev. And we started off our daf today with a statement by Ula, that if the Seir's blood was brought, if the Seir's blood is brought before the first application of the Dampar, so now what do you have to do? You have to not only go back and redo the Seir, you have to go back and redo the Shechting of the Seir. Because the Seder demands that the Shechting of the Seir be done after the first application of the Dampar. Okay, so you got to go back and you got to redo the Shechting of the Seir. The Mishnah doesn't sound like that, but the Gemara reinterpreted the Mishnah. Okay, good. The Gemara on the Amud Aleph brought in two lengthy brisas. The first one is where is Klal Yisrael getting their kapara from? So for Shara Averis, for Yisrael, Seir Mishaleach. For Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, for the Kohanim from the Par. For Yisrael, it's coming from the Seir, Seir LaHashem. That's all clear. The only thing left and open for debate is where is the Kohanim receiving their kapara for Shara Averis? Machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, it's coming from the Seir Mishalech. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's coming from the Par. Next, the Gemara quoted another lengthy brice on the Amud Aleph that basically taught us about the sets of Hazaos in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Heichal, and in the Heichal on the Mizbeach. Okay, so, and each one is considered its own separate unit, and what happens if blood spills? So you go back to that unit, and according to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Meir, you go back to the beginning of the unit. According to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, you pick it up right where you left off. Good. And that's true with each one of the sets. Once the set is completed, so then you don't have to go back and redo that set. Good. And then the Gemara on the bottom of the Amud Aleph goes into the Amud Beis, says that, you know, we have a parallel when it comes to Mitzora. When it comes to the Log Shem and the Mitzora, there are three sets of applications. Hazos on the Hazos in the direction of the Heichal, application of the appendages of the Mitzora, and then the pouring of his head. And once again, is there a Machlokas? And the answer is yes. Just like we had a Machlokas from Meir, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, in terms of how to treat these sets and what happens when blood spills in the middle. Same thing is true regarding the Log Shem and the oil for the Mitzora. Same Machlokas. Okay, good. The pouring of the oil on the head of the Mitzora is not Ma'akev, and the Gemara gave us a drush in terms of why that is. For the Amud Beis, what happens if you have the Asher Mitzora that was Shechted Shelo Lishmo? So now how do you recover? Interesting. The Gemara says, you know how you recover? You don't, at least according to one opinion, according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, there is no recovery point. Since now the carbon was identified and shechted, and now according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you pick it up where you left off, you're in a limbo point. So you can't pick it up where you left off. Either Mitzvah is not going to have a Tara, okay. An unsolvable problem. Not every problem is going to have a solution. This is an unsolvable problem. Again, it's rare, but it's an unsolvable problem. And according to Rabbi Meir, no, you just simply you bring a new carbon. Good. The Braisa that the Gemara quoted on the Amud Beis says that in the event that the Asher Moshechta Shelo Lishmo, so you bring another carbon Sarech, and then the rest of today's daf deliberated. When you see that word Sarech, what does that mean? The simple way to read it is that you just say, yeah, you need a new carbon. An alternative way to read it is that Sarech means you need it, but you can't get it. And consequently, ein lo takana. And then the Gemara says, is that a legitimate way, a style of the Braisa, to see the word Sarech and say ein lo takana? And the Gemara's response is yes. Not an absolute yes. Not everybody agrees. The example we gave was our hairless Nazir, where the Torah says, v'avir tar al rosho, that you have to take a razor and put it over his head. You have to shave his head. And he doesn't have hair. Can he shave? So Beis Hillel says, just skip the step. Beis Shammai says, no, he needs a shave. But when Beis Shammai says he needs a shave, so one way to read it, one of the Amoraim read it this way, is that he needs it, but he can't do it, and therefore in lo takana. Okay, so at least according to one Amora, it is a viable way to see it. Okay, and then the last part of today's daf, we just described the really unusual way the blood of the Asher Mitzvah is collected, two Kohanim, one with the Kli, the other with his hand, the one with the Kli en route to the Mizbech, the one with his hand en route to the Mitzvah. Adkan.